This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. We want to help you guys help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can support the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened.
That is the promise that God gives to us. There's also another verse that I love that reminds us of that. I don't know if you remember this, Ryan, but there was a thing a while back where we were like, can we please stop saying that we found God? That's not biblical. God finds us. And then you come to verses like this where he says, if you seek God, you're going to find him.
Yeah.
I remember that always used to annoy me when people would say that. Mm-hmm. There's another one. It's in Proverbs. I can't remember the reference. Maybe David, if you want to look it up, or somebody, but it was, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me.
Yeah.
Which means this, that it is an active participation in the Christian walk. You don't save yourself,
right?
But you do actively seek God. And that's how salvation happens. You ask God, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, I want to know who you are. It starts with that desire.
Well, we've said this on the show before, but the Christian life is not a passive thing. It's not mm-hmm. something that happens to you. It's something that you have an active part in.
Right.
No, you don't purchase your own salvation, but the Christian life is worked out in the doing. It's mm-hmm. worked out in seeking after God. It's worked out in praying. It's worked out in chasing after his righteousness, because mm-hmm. Jesus is reminding people here in this passage, whoever seeks and seeks correctly will find him.
That's right. Proverbs 8:17 was the verse I referenced earlier. Yeah. Shout out to David, and shout out to the Date the Word app. Yep. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Shout out to the Date the Word app as well for sponsoring this episode of the Clearview Today Show. You can download that on your iPhone or your Android right now for 100% free. Every single day connects today's date to God's word with the hope of making it more memorable for you.
That's right.
Ryan.
Yes.
You're back.
I'm back.
You're back. He's back,
I'm
baby.
Back.
Yeah, baby. Back from not camp.
Not
I keep wanting to say camp.
Camp.
It's not camp.
Not
we
camp.
Made that mistake throughout the weeks. It wasn't camp.
Mission,
it was mission trip.
Trip.
Mission.
Mission trip.
How was it?
It was excellent.
Tell us about it.
It was excellent. So we go up in the mountains at Fruitland Baptist Bible College. Shout out to Fruitland. in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Beautiful up there. It's kind of like tucked away up in the mountains enough that you feel like you're removed from civilization. So there's not busy traffic or anything. I mean, you hear the birds chirping when you wake up in the morning. It's gorgeous.
Right.
And so all week long, we talked about what it means to be an influencer, how Christ has called us to be the salt and light of the earth. And that happens not on a mission trip where we're tucked away out of reality, but it happens when we're inserted into our context, into our culture. And we trace that through the lives of eight different individuals through scripture. For everybody from Joseph and Joshua to Esther and Paul, and learn what it means to, you know, improve the context into which God has called us.
Yeah, there's a lot of things where like we're always encouraged or pushed, I would say, to be influencers on social media. That's a thing. You're a social media influencer, which means really you just show people your supposedly great life and they're supposed to envy you enough to want to emulate your life.
Right.
And that's what being an influencer is. But I love that because it's language that they use. They know, they understand, but it's wrapped in that biblical truth of being an influencer.
Absolutely. And influencing that's what God has called us to do. Yeah. It's not to be influenced by culture, but to change the culture around us.
Anything fun happen?
Oh, gosh. How much time do you have?
Well, I was just here, so I had a lot of time on my hands.
You had a lot of time.
Yeah, it was just kind of like watching the hours tick by.
I missed you when we were up in the mountains. I missed being in the studio and recording.
What was one of the highlights?
One of the highlights for me was...
Because when we work with teenagers, it's a lot of nonsense.
So one of the things that always, it makes me laugh, but I always love it every single year, is how seriously they take like their team names. So every D group, we encourage them to come up with an identity and like a team chant or cheer or something. Like when we go visit Rec Time, shout out to Nick, who is one of our engineers who ran Rec Time for us. When we go to Rec, you know, it's all about team spirit. It's all about who's the most hype. So you go out there chanting about, you know, how you're going to like mess people up for Jesus and all that kind of stuff. We had all kinds of team names. We had the anglerfish because they live in salt water, but they have a light. So they're salty and lit.
Okay.
We had the ding dang disciples.
All right. I like that.
Like I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for these ding dang disciples.
Got away with what?
Who knows?
My sin, I guess.
Who knows? We had, what was another one? We had the NBA, which doesn't stand for National Basketball Association. It stands for No Boys Allowed because that was an all-girl
group.
All girls.
Okay.
Just a lot of fun.
Wow.
A lot of fun hype, team name chants and stuff like that. It's always fun.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about it later on the show. We're going to bring Dr. Shah in and maybe kind of get his take on how everything went.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Make sure you guys stay tuned after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian talk radio.
And listen, we know we are not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com, or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here live once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. This is usually reserved for our permaguest, Nicole Shah, because I'm so happy to see you. I'm just going to go ahead and give you a welcome back, my friend. Welcome back, Dr. Shah. Ryan is back from not camp. He's back from
but you kept calling it camp
mission trip. I was calling it camp, all last week.
Did you straighten him out?
Well, I actually was calling it vacation, but it wasn't vacation. Yeah, no. It wasn't vacay. It wasn't staycay. No. It was not camp.
No.
Mission.
you're on the mission field,
trip.
But not on mission. I think that's a Mormon thing.
Yeah.
Nothing with Mormons.
Orlando.
No, we came back from the mission trip. It was an amazing week. It was incredible. We had a team of 70 people up in the mountains serving and painting and doing yard work and construction. And it was a lot of fun.
It's crazy how mission trips are always amazing. They're always spectacular. They're never mid. Like, you never hear someone get back from a mission trip and they'd be like, it was fine.
Back from a mission trip. Eh.
It's just never.
It's good luck for anybody.
Yeah, like, and it's also bad radio, too. It's like, we just came back from a mission trip. It was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, anyway, we don't need to hash that out again. Dr. Shaw, we're glad to have Ryan back. And
yes,
he didn't betray anybody. He didn't leave anybody high and dry.
Yeah, you were a little, I mean, the last phone call I remember amidst the chaos was a little forlorn.
Oh, I'm surprised you remember it.
Yes, you were a little down in the dumps there, buddy.
Listen, I am glad that you're back. And we've been talking a lot about how God can guide you in this Christian walk, right? Yeah. In fact, I think I'm taking over the...
when you feel like people have turned their back on you.
Right. But, you know, finding and discerning his will in our lives is just a good part of kind of circumventing that. Right. I don't know how, but I know that it's true.
I don't know how, but I'm confident in case. In light of that, Dr. Shaw, we're talking about guidance. You know, we're walking through this series on what it means to pursue God's will for our life. What encouragement do you have for our listeners and viewers today?
If you're struggling with direction in your life, if you're struggling with guidance in your life, please pray.
Mm.
Prayer is powerful. Whatever is on your mind right now, whatever is on your heart right now, that you're struggling with, you're confused about, it keeps you up at night, puts you in a bad mood all day, pray. Yeah. Take it to God and say, God, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to handle this person. I don't know how to handle this situation or this sin in my life or this worry that I have or this new direction that you're taking us. God, help me. And God will answer you. It may take some time, but he will never leave you hanging. He will answer you. He will guide you.
Yeah.
So trust him, but talk to him.
Amen.
How often have you talked to people who are struggling with finding God's guidance in a particular situation? Like, I really wish God would just tell me what I need to do or where to go. And you ask them, have you prayed about it? And they look at you like,
yeah. See, because they think God knows my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows what's in my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He should just answer me and just show me because he knows what I'm going through.
Mm.
But there's something about prayer. Prayer is found in the first book to the last book of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
From Genesis to Revelation, Old and New Testament, you find prayer. You find it in the narrative sections like Genesis, Exodus. You find them. Find it in prophetic sections like, and I'm just talking about the Old Testament right now, in the historical books like Joshua and Judges and Samuel and the prophets. You find it in poetic literature,
mm-hmm.
Like Psalms, in the wisdom literature, like Proverbs. And then you go to the New Testament, again, narrative like the Gospels, history like Acts, epistles like Paul's letters, John's letters, Peter's. And then, of course, even the apocalyptic literature, prophetic, I would say, more like Revelation. It's also about the prayers of the saints that rise up to God.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer is something that is found throughout the Bible, and it's God telling you, talk to me. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to go away to do that. You can talk to him wherever you are and say, God, I need your help.
Mm.
I need your guidance. And he will answer you. He always has.
What I love about that, and I just thought about it as we were sitting here kind of talking about it. People will always say, you know, you have to talk things through, because when you talk it through, then the answer just kind of comes to you, or you're able to kind of suss out and untangle everything. But what I love about prayer is that the more you talk it out, God is the one who untangles it for you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? God is the one, like you just said, he's going to answer you. There's never been a prayer that just, he's just like, I'm just going to completely let you figure that one out.
And he uses different means to answer us or to guide us. Sometimes he uses our emotions,
because
sometimes people think emotions are evil and terrible. And of course, we tell you, don't trust your emotions. Emotions are the shallowest part, as J. Sidlow Baxter used to say.
Mm-hmm.
But emotions are also used by God when we submit our emotions to him.
That's right.
So he will help you even through your emotions. He'll guide you. Circumstances, things begin to line up. Or doors begin to open, or certain doors begin to close. And then, of course, mature Christians. Mm-hmm. He uses people who are godly, people who are not perfect, but they are walking with God, and they will say things to you, whether they say things to you in person or they will say things to you through devotions. Like I read devotions every morning, different books. And I'm working through one right now. And this morning, as I'm having this struggle or I'm talking about this thing with Nicole and I'm like, you know, how are we going to handle this? Or what are we going to do? And there's a paragraph in my devotions that was exactly what I needed to hear. And I had just read that. And then we went talking about this. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, remember what you just read? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I did. Wait, that was given to me by God for this situation. Mm-hmm. He is guiding me. He's actively guiding me. Mm-hmm. And that was a great eye-opening moment for me that he used a mature Christian from like 300-400 years ago to speak to me.
That's a great point. That's a fantastic point.
That's why devotionals are great.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about that, you know, when you read God's word, obviously God speaks to you through reading his word, but in listening, reading devotionals and listening to pastors and listening to your pastor speak, I mean, that's God speaking to you through another human being, another godly individual.
And it's not just that God guides people who are spiritual elite on top of their discipline, just like you, they've done all the right things. They've said their prayer, do the devotionals. It's not that doesn't make those people the spiritual elite. You know what I'm saying? It's not that God's guidance is just for them. If you, and I like how you said it, it's for those who humbly submit. I've been doing something in my devotions that I think has actually done me a bit of harm, which is I've been listening to them while I drive. And I think I'm going to stop because I'm not humbly submitting. I'm just cramming it in where I can get it. And I don't, I've been doing it for a couple of months now, and I don't think it's been doing me a whole lot of good because I don't feel, you know, I don't feel the same as when I actually take time in the morning before I leave to actually do them.
Or at least have the time of prayer where you sit down and you pray.
Yeah.
And I know there are people who have a busy schedule. They have kids, you know, little kids, or they have just a difficult season of their life, busy season in their life. And so they feel like I'm just going to do this on the way. And that's fine. It's okay. Do that. But I hope you will also balance that out on days like Saturdays, that you will take the time to sit down, not just driving, not just looking in the mirror or looking in through the windshield or whatever, sit down and uninterruptedly pray and read. And read the Bible, read the devotions, and talk to God.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about setting that time aside.
That's true. And you really, once you do it and then you stop, you feel it. You know, you see absolutely. there's a huge difference here.
Yes.
And maybe that's why a lot of these decisions are not coming to fruition. Maybe that's why I don't feel guided.
Yeah. Well, there's one person who we would think did not need a devotional life. He did not, because he was connected to God. Of course, he was the second person and is the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. But when he was on this planet Earth in human flesh, walking about, touching lives, fulfilling prophecies, and ultimately doing what he came to do, which is give his life for us. But while he was in that process, he spent time in prayer. He talked to his Father. And we know that the answer came, and he had that sense of guidance, because Mark chapter 2, verse 8 says, "But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts?'" Now, what I want us to focus on is that one little line, "when Jesus perceived in his spirit."
Do you feel like people will use that and be like, well, Jesus doesn't really perceive anything because he knows. Right. So he doesn't have to be discerning. He just knows.
Yeah, like his omniscience. He knows.
Yeah, it's like, and I don't know why Christians do this. I think I've done it in the past, but we've talked about his dual nature and how that plays in. But people feel like Jesus has an unfair advantage. Like, I know I'm supposed to be like Jesus, but I can't. So any example where he gets it right, you can always just say, well, he's God.
Right. No, there's something more there. Perceived in his spirit means he had a sense of guidance. He was guided to know what was about to happen next. And the same way he was guided by his Father, remember he humbled himself, Philippians chapter 2, limited himself.
Mm-hmm.
He never stopped being God. He
right.
did not throw away his attributes. He did not do that. He just simply chose to temporarily limit himself, but mm-hmm. he was still fully God at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But in that limitation that he set upon himself, he still sensed the guidance of his Father. And since he is not only our Savior, but he's also our model, he's also our life, we too can be guided.
Mm-hmm.
We too can perceive in our spirit what God is telling us to do.
Wow. How does that happen? How does that, I mean, I know if we've talked about prayer and devotionals and stuff, but how do you see it manifest when you say, okay, God is guiding me to do this?
Well, first and foremost, we need to realize that when we talk about guidance, we're not just talking about guidance between right and wrong, but we're talking about guidance between good, better, and best.
Hmm. Good point.
Let's clarify that. And I know our listeners and viewers are like, okay, what did you just say? We are not talking about guidance between right and wrong. We are talking about guidance between good, better, and best.
So I don't have to ask God's guidance. Should I lie on my resume? Should I like rob this bank?
No.
God, guide me in this decision, Father.
Right. So make sure you understand that the Bible is very clear on good, bad, ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't do the bad things.
Right.
Don't
right.
do the ugly things. Sin is sin. You don't need the Holy Spirit to convict you regarding adultery,
mm-hmm.
regarding lying, regarding cheating, regarding murder, regarding murdering somebody's reputation. No need to perceive in your spirit.
I just really need God's guidance as to whether I should step out of my marriage and then kill this person.
Yeah. Or should I go to church? Or should I share the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Or should I give my tithes and offerings to God? No, you don't need guidance for that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are simply commands. It's a great commission.
Mm, good point.
Commission, which means go do it. What we're talking about here is something between good, better, and best. It means the options are there.
Mm-hmm.
I want God to show me which is the better or the best option.
Mm.
Whether it is relationship, God, should I move along and in this relationship with this person, or should I just move along and go to somebody else? Or wait for someone else. God, I need to know.
It also presupposes that Christians should want the best for their lives.
Right. Yeah.
Because if not, then it's just like, well, I don't really need God's guidance. I'll just settle with whatever he gives me.
And many people do.
Yeah.
They're okay with it.
Yeah.
They don't stop to say, God, what is it that you have for me?
Mm-hmm.
If this is as good as it gets, then this is as good as it gets. I'm satisfied with this job, this life, this relationship. I'm okay with this. They don't ask the question, God, are you in this? Are you in this career?
Mm.
Are you in this college? A decision that I'm about to make. Let's talk about our students mm-hmm. going off to college. Is it between this college or this college?
Mm-hmm.
I need to go to college. I know that.
Yeah.
Or maybe college is not for you. Maybe it's a technical school. Maybe it's going to work at a job that's going to make you a professional in that field.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's car repair. Maybe it's an AC technician.
Right.
Maybe it is, I don't know, some repair person. But your question to God is, God, should I work with this business or should I work with this business?
Hmm.
This business is about 45 minutes away, but it's a Christian business. This business is only 5 minutes away, but I don't think the person I'm going to be working with is a believer.
Right.
I'm not going to learn as well at the Christian business, but I'm going to learn a lot mm-hmm. at this business, which is not a Christian business. You see, life gets complicated.
Yeah, definitely.
If everything was clear cut, you would say, oh no, I'm going to take this one and this one and this, because it all lines up here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if it does, by all means, take it. But many times it doesn't work like that.
True.
So how do I know which way to go?
So this is the type of guidance we're talking about.
This is the type of guidance we are referring to. And it comes, don't forget, it comes from being grounded in the Word of God.
Amen.
True.
In other words, the more we are in the Word of God, the more we can recognize the voice of God.
Hmm. Because that's the only way we can really know His mind and His heart is to
right.
be in His Word.
When you're in the Bible, that's when you hear God. So when you hear God in your heart, this job versus this, or this person, not this one, as your life partner, or this career, or this education, or this how do you know is God leading you?
Mm-hmm.
Is when you are in the Word, you can recognize.
That's a great point to make, because we were talking about devotions earlier, and it's not like you sit there and you take time to do those devotions so that God will be pleased that you follow the rules. And right. It's like, all right, because you did that and you showed me respect, I'm going to help you out. Mm-hmm. It's you're learning how to hear him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's speaking. Mm-hmm. He's speaking in your heart. He's speaking to people. He's speaking to circumstances. You just cannot recognize in the plethora of voices. You feel confused and say, I don't know. Is it my emotions? Is it just my intuition? Mm-hmm. Or is it really God?
Yeah.
Am I forcing myself to think what I really want versus what God really wants? I don't know. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the Word on a consistent basis, humbly submitting yourself to what the Word has to say, you will know.
This is a really like obscure kind of esoteric example, but it just makes sense to me. Like because we're so sound minded, I'm thinking of like all the noise that's in our hearts and our minds and in the world. And like, there's just constantly voices, but like a lot of like cause we do the radio show, a lot of like modern soundboards, they have where you can put on headphones and you can just solo a channel. Mm. And I can just hear that. Like Chad does it when our sound guy does it when we're doing worship. He's like, man, something's not sounding right. He'll solo different channels. And in the headphones, he can just hear that. And I'm thinking about like this idea of a guy like sitting down and there's so many voices, like sin and the world and doubts and all this stuff. And you put the headphones on, and that's doing your devotion. You just solo that channel and God speaks to you.
These voices sound the same. I think it's the same person mm-hmm. talking to me. I'll give you an example.
Sure.
When I was in college and when I first came to America, mom and dad would call me. They knew the whole time that America is about 10 and a half hours behind
mm-hmm.
India, but it didn't matter to them. So they would call me. And it would
at all hours of the night?
2 o'clock in the morning. Wow. Yeah, 2:30 in the morning. And
they forgot or they just didn't care?
I don't think they cared at the time. They're like, we just want to talk to you. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. Go ahead and call him.
Can you not just wake up?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. That was your mom talking to your dad, you think?
Probably. Just call him. It's okay. I think it's maybe just Lebanese studying. And then it's 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And they would call and I would be like, hey, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Everybody okay? Oh, we just wanted to talk to you. What time is it over there? Guys, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, we woke you up. We're so sorry. I'm like, oh, it's okay.
Did you have a roommate?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like, the phone ringing.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, so what we're going to talk to you about was, so this happened and that happened. And they're very sweet. Usually it was like, hey, we're sending you money kind of thing. So it was not like they were just like random talk.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, hang on 1 second. And I would take the phone. We had a long cord, you know, back in the day, there's no cell phone.
Yeah.
It was 1991. And I would walk out of the room in the hallway at night at 1:30. You would see once in a while somebody who's still up studying would walk down the hall.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man. You know.
Was it like one of the corded phones that mounted on the wall with the wire, with the coiled wire?
And
that's really
walk
funny.
Out and it's in the dark. There's no flashlights. I'm just like stumbling through.
Yeah.
And then get outside and your roommate's like, oh, man, like you're waking people up. And I would get in the hallway and now there's nobody in the hallway. So it's like booming sound. Uh-huh, it's like, hey. So it comes out like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys can be calling me at like 2 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, but thank you for calling.
And so they would call. And I would, same thing as like, what time is it? Oh, it's 2 o'clock.
Still 2 o'clock. Yeah.
But then something began to happen. I began to, they were not calling me every week.
Right.
Because they were sort of like, oh, he'll be fine. Everything is good. So they would call me once a month or once every other month or something like that. And my voice was also changing. Mm. It was more like, hey, hello, we want to talk to Abidan Shah. Yeah, it's me.
It's me.
Oh, you sound so different.
Wow.
I gave a long illustration, but the point is, the further you go without talking, the harder it is to recognize.
That's a great point.
Voice.
Yeah, great point.
So also the voice of God.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's right.
There's so much more of an active participation on our part. So many times I feel like we're sort of tricked, or maybe we trick ourselves into this mindset of just sitting back and waiting for God to loud booming loudspeaker from heaven mm-hmm. tell us what to do. God, just tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he is telling you what to do. It's just a matter of, do you have the ears to hear it?
Right.
And to develop the ears, get into the Word of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also I would add, get into prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Start praying.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is how we ask God for what we need. But prayer is also how God sends the answers to our needs.
That's a good point.
Prayer is asking and receiving,
mm-hmm.
asking and listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bible talks about this in the Old and the New Testament, this aspect of listening in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Exodus 33:13, this is where Moses said, he said, "Now therefore I pray." So mm-hmm. you know he's praying.
Mm-hmm.
"If I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way." Isn't that nice?
There's, so there's a response coming.
Yeah, he knows show me something. Now your way. "That I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight."
Mm, amen.
James says in James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." Asking of God means prayer. "Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him."
Mm, that's right.
You know, Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So in prayer, the Holy Spirit begins to make intercession for us.
That's right.
This is beautiful.
It is.
And so pray, ask God, but then sit back and listen to what he's saying to you.
Amen. Yeah. So good. So helpful for us in learning how to pray and learning how to hear God speaking to us. Today was helpful for you. Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Lots of great content coming your way this week. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.